This patient has a diagnosis of hypothyroidism, most likely Hashimoto thyroiditis, most common cause of hypothyroidism in Western countries, iodine deficiency being most common cause worldwide. Hashimoto is due to autoantibodies against thyroperoxidase, also known as antimicrosomal antibodies. Patient will also have antibodies against thyroglobulin, okay? So patient's TSH will be elevated, T3, T4 decreased, and radioiodine uptake into the thyroid gland decreased. Now, this constellation of findings, which I distilled out here for this question, really, really easy and high yield if you're studying for step two. Step two vignettes will classically give you a massive paragraph, lots of lab values, and then you'll have to sort of sift out these same findings that I wrote here in order to figure out that it's hypothyroidism. For step one, this could be more challenging because the easiest findings you could get would be brittle hair, dry skin, constipation, cold intolerance. Truthfully, very uncommon to get that on the USMLE. It's just too easy. But also, so I'm going to go through the findings here. I just want to also make a quick note that one finding I did not write in this question, obviously because the patient's postmenopausal, is hypothyroidism is classically associated with heavier periods and longer menstruation, so menorrhagia. Okay, so they can tell you a woman of reproductive age that her periods are getting longer and heavier. That's classic for hypothyroidism. Now, looking at this question, you can see the patient has a heart rate of 60. No big deal, completely normal. But if you're suspecting hypothyroidism, you happen to notice that the patient has sinus bradycardia, which is considered heart rate of 60 or below, that's corroborating. So you'll often see a heart rate of 55 to 60 in USMLE vignettes. BMI is 25, which is borderline overweight. Patient need not have an elevated BMI. So patient doesn't have to have a BMI of 32, for instance. You can just have simply 25, no big deal. Total cholesterol is often elevated in hypothyroidism. Now, this is assuming that the patient's HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol, is normal. Obviously, in certain populations, such as South Pacific Islanders and Japanese, can have high HDL, which can give you high total cholesterol, but it's classic in USMLE vignettes for, especially in 2CK for hypothyroidism, to see increased total cholesterol, of course, that being the LDL component, which is increased. Patient's creatine kinase can be elevated due to hypothyroid myopathy. The patient can sometimes have proximal muscle weakness, where they say difficulty getting out of a chair unassisted or difficulty brushing hair, or reaching overhead, okay? But the patient need not be symptomatic. So you can just do laboratory tests where you're like, creatine kinase a little bit elevated. So that's corroborating for hypothyroid myopathy. Hepatic AST elevated. So you can get elevated transaminases in hypothyroidism sometimes. Why? No fucking idea, okay? But sometimes autoimmune diseases, notably Hashimoto, can give you elevated hepatic transaminases. So especially in 2CK level questions where you look at all the lab values, you're like, why the fuck is the AST elevated? It's not a big deal. It's just something you can see in hypothyroidism. Just be mindful of it, as well as other autoimmune diseases. Now, I also wrote in the vignette here that the patient is notably quiet during the examination. That's probably reflective of dysthymia, low mood, or even full-blown depression. So low mood, dysthymia, and more severely depression can be seen in hypothyroidism. It's a reversible condition where if you treat the hypothyroidism with levothyroxine, T4 analog, then the patient's mood will increase, okay? USMLE likes to give you a decreased eye contact or that the patient is notably quiet during the examination as reflective of dysthymia or depression. So sometimes the question, especially in family medicine, will ask you for the next best, they'll give you the same vignette here and then ask you for the next best step in diagnosis. And the answer is simply check antibodies against I'm jumping two steps ahead. They'll give you the same vignette here and then the answer will be check serum TSH. What I was almost going to say is sometimes for questions for Graves' disease, you would have as the answer check serum antibodies against TSH receptor in Graves' disease, completely unrelated, hyperthyroidism, you get activating antibodies against TSH receptor. But for questions like this with Hashimoto, they want you to know that you check serum TSH as the next best step. Obviously, TSH elevated, your T3, T4 decreased, and your radioiodine uptake decreased. So looking at some of the other answer choices here, autoimmune hepatitis, that's going to be usually a youngish woman, 20s or 30s, who has elevated hepatic transaminases. And they might also tell you that there's history of autoimmune disease in the family, such as rheumatoid arthritis, or that she has rheumatoid arthritis. And by all means, Hashimoto's is associated with simultaneous autoimmune diseases as well. But for autoimmune hepatitis, they're not going to give you all of these additional findings of hypothyroidism. It'll literally just be 28-year-old woman, high ALT, AST, maybe she has a sister who has rheumatoid arthritis, and that's pretty much it. They can also tell you that there's positive anti-smooth muscle antibodies. That's the antibody that you see in autoimmune hepatitis. Okay, anti-smooth muscle, sometimes they'll mention that in the vignette, or they'll just have you pick that as the answer, okay? So looking at choice C, obviously this is not non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, also known as NASH. That's actually a very tricky diagnosis. This is more of a 2CK level diagnosis. So NASH is going to be the answer on 2CK, where they give you a patient who has a metabolic syndrome. So they're going to give you obesity, high blood pressure, usually increased fasting glucose levels, pre-diabetic or diabetic patient. And they'll give you normal transaminases most of the time. That's a really tricky detail about NASH, is that your liver findings can be completely normal. You're like, how the hell are the liver findings normal if this is hepatitis? I know it's weird, but that's how NASH actually starts. USMLE, if you're able to eliminate the other answers, like they just give you an obese patient, that's it, all the lab values are normal, or they give you ever so slightly elevated transaminases, that's just NASH. But NASH will start where the patient's just obese, and the liver, if you were to do an incidental biopsy, would have increased steatosis, so intracellular fat accumulation. And then over time, the transaminases can begin to increase, and the patient can eventually go on to get very rarely, can go on to get cirrhosis and even hepatocellular carcinoma. But once again, 2CK level questions will just give you an obese patient who has normal lab values, including normal transaminases, and you're able to eliminate the other answers. And you're like, okay, well, I guess NASH is correct in that setting. Choice D, polymyositis, another distractor, of course. USMLE wants you to know that's going to be proximal muscle weakness, and it can sometimes be associated with pain and stiffness, although pain and stiffness are classically polymyalgia rheumatica. I don't want to get too confusing or off topic, but I'll just be clear that polymyositis, the two classic findings are going to be muscle weakness on physical exam, proximal muscle weakness on physical exam, as well as elevated creatine kinase, okay? But you're not going to see all these other findings here associated with hypothyroidism. You'd also have positive anti-JO1 or MI2 antibodies, okay? That's characteristic for polymyositis, and you'd have to do a biopsy to ultimately confirm the diagnosis, which would show a T-cell infiltrate in muscle. Going back real quick, the contrast with polymyalgia rheumatica is that there is no muscle weakness on physical exam, and there will not be an elevation in creatine kinase, okay? That's how you distinguish polymyositis from polymyalgia rheumatica, is polymyositis, increased CK, proximal muscle weakness in physical exam. You do not get those findings with polymyalgia rheumatica. Once again, a lot we can chat about. I don't want to get too off topic. And then choice E, primary biliary cirrhosis. That's going to be the answer where you have a woman 20s to 40s generally, who's going to have elevated serum cholesterol, generalized pruritus, okay? And will have increased bilirubin, conjugated bilirubin, and ALP. So if they had given you, let's say, 34-year-old woman, high serum cholesterol, generalized itching / pruritus, and her ALP and bilirubin are elevated, that's highly characteristic for primary biliary cirrhosis, anti-mitochondrial antibodies, okay? And then you would... you could do a biopsy to confirm the diagnosis there. So That's generally it for this question. I mean, we could chat about this in much more detail, but I want you to take away, like, the bottom line point is it's too easy for the USMLE to give you findings such as constipation, brittle hair, weight gain, cold intolerance for hypothyroidism. You need to know findings such as menorrhagia, okay, longer periods, sometimes amenorrhea altogether in a younger woman. And then in general, just elevated serum cholesterol, you can get bradycardia, your BMI need not be elevated. You can also get elevations in creatine kinase from hypothyroid myopathy with proximal muscle weakness, and you can get elevated transaminases, and the patient can be dysthymic or depressed. Okay, that's it.